Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
Welcome, Baltimore, to another episode of Sanity Lounge. Today we're joined by Whiskey Feathers, a band that's been turning heads with their unique mix of Americana, folk, and indie rock. Their sound is all about great storytelling, infectious melodies, and that perfect balance of raw energy and emotion. We'll be talking about how the band came together, their creative process, and what's next on the horizon for them. Whether you're already a fan or you're just hearing about them for the first time, it's going to be a great conversation. Get ready to experience Whiskey Feathers bringing their electrifying sound to Live at the Lounge, a performance packed with raw energy, soulful vibes, and unforgettable tunes that will leave you wanting more. Don't miss this epic jam session. Welcome, Baltimore. We are back with another wonderful episode of Sanity Lounge with our very special guests, Whiskey Feathers. We have John and Britton in the studio for a little conversation.
That's right.
Thanks for having us.
Baltimore's own Whiskey Feathers.
Thanks, man. Guys.
Yeah, thank you. I just met you cats tonight. Incredible performance. Thanks. And my initial question out of the gate is the revival type vibe that is there. Is that, where's that bore from? Is that you, or is that your, is that intentional? Is it from history of you? Or
I think it's just a culmination of kind of everything we've listened to and what we like and where we're at. I wouldn't say there's much intention in that at all. And really in the band, you know, I don't tell anybody to really do anything, right? Like it's, we're the sum of our parts. Everyone's very talented, and it's just let it shine, really. And we all share a similar aesthetic, and we get along very well in general. But musically too, there's not much discrepancy or.
It seems very like spiritual and revivalist.
Yeah, right on.
Like it's good
Thank
shit,
you.
Man. It's yeah. Appreciate that.
It's all organic. Yeah. It's nothing. It's nothing forced. I think it you know, shows, it comes through.
So how long have you guys been playing together?
A couple of years.
How long have you all known each other?
I met Britton because of the pandemic. Yeah. I was playing at a church where Britton was the caretaker at the time.
Yeah.
And so the flock was away for COVID, so the church needed some way to make money.
Yeah.
So they opened it up as a practice space for musicians, so that was pretty cool of them.
Yeah, he was playing in Western Run. Shout out to Western Run.
Yes, indeedy.
And I was the caretaker of a church for 8+ years, and we cleaned the church and we took care of the grounds and mowed the grass and weeded. There's two cemeteries, and we lived in the caretaker house.
Is this in Baltimore?
Barter. Yeah, it's in Baltimore County.
Nice.
Yeah, it was at Bosley United Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. And our neighbor, a couple doors down, he's like, would you be interested in this? We're living in Timonium. And it's like, yeah, you know, I kind of knew where the spot was. Mm-hmm. And I never heard of the arrangement like that. And I've never heard of it since. But my wife and I lived there, you know, 8 years. It was a lot of work. You know, it was probably 20+ hours a week in the summer, at least, to cut all the grass and do everything and clean it and take care of it. But yeah, it was a barter, and we lived in a 1850s log cabin originally, and it got expanded upon over the years. But the church, the sound was incredible. The church was built in 1877, and but the sound was great. And yeah, I met John there because they were coming into practice. And at the time, it was just Jenny and I were duo. Mm-hmm. And
were you still called Whiskey Feathers when you were duo?
We were, nice. Yeah. And our first gig, we needed a name like real fast. And my Jenny has, would sit. She had a keyboard, like bench, like a piano bench. And her cat had like just ripped it to shreds. It was like foam. And my wife had like kind of made her a slip cover. And the pattern of the slip cover, it was these like, there were feathers on it. And it was like, we needed a name. And Jenny's like, what about Wispy Feathers? Like Wispy. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, heavy drinker at the time. And I was like, Whiskey Feathers? Right. And she was like, no, but that works. Mm-hmm. And that's the origin of the name. It's not any cooler than that. It's evolved and changed over the years.
I like the name.
Yeah, but and it was like, we needed a name quick, and that was it. And it stuck. It's evolved now, like, sober 3 years.
Good for you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And that was September 12th. It's been 3 years. But most of us have all kind of gone through those struggles of life. And
we surely have. Let me ask you this. Are you both spiritual gentlemen from the get-go? Or you guys both met at a church? Is the rest of the band, did they come from the church era or the...
No, like, I wouldn't even say I'm like a really religious person.
No judgment here. I'm just asking. No, spiritual vibe. Yeah, spiritual vibe. Yeah, don't even have to. Yeah, like,
it was very spiritual. Very,
It shows in the music for me.
We're feeling it up there.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, but not necessarily tied to religion, but definitely feel one with the universe and the cosmos and our place in it and our time and our space. So,
and it is telling that you guys, you have a revival vibe, in a certain sense. It's awesome that your history is you met at a church. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
And I met Jenny like an open mic in, it was 2012-ish maybe.
Wow.
And Zorn was the, our buddy John Zorn, shout out to Z, who plays in Western Run. Was running that open mic, and I remember my wife was on work travel, and I went to this open mic. I'm like, I got nothing to do. I'm new in town. I moved to Baltimore in November 2010.
From where?
North Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, in Waleska, Georgia.
Interesting.
And my wife, her family was from there. They grew up in like Chattanooga, Tennessee. And, mm-hmm. I'm from. I was born in South Carolina. My parents are actually from Western Maryland. I went to school and grew up in Florida.
Where in Florida?
I grew up in like Palm Beach County.
Oh, I got you.
And went to college in Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, Daytona Beach. Moved from Daytona up to Georgia. The economy. I graduated in 2008. It was like just terrible to find a job.
Right.
And
yeah, that was a rough year.
For everybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I moved. We moved up to her parents in 2008. And we lived there about a year. And then I got a job in Hunt Valley and kind of came home in a way. Like, I, as a kid, my first baseball game was an O's game. And,
nice.
I came up flying into Baltimore and then driving out west to like Cumberland and stuff to see family.
Yep.
And my parents are long since gone from Western Maryland. And it was kind of a weird homecoming thing to come back here. And I always love coming to visit.
Yep.
But
it felt right.
It felt right. Yeah. And I met Jenny early on. And then EJ and Luke, they were playing in a band called Rusty Sow, and still playing in a band called Rusty Sow with Letitia Van Zandt. Shout out to all them. And we were both kind of, we were all kind of courting each other, but did nobody knew that was happening, right? It was pretty organic, which was fun and serendipitous. But I played with EJ at the filling station, and it was like an artist opening. And our friend Dinah was like, is it cool if the guy, he helps run the music around here, if you just, he's a drummer, if you guys want to jam together? I'm like, I'm always open to that. And I met him, and we brought it down, you know.
Yeah, he's a great player.
That's great.
He's awesome. A great player. And people were like, Dinah's running around going, they've never met before, they've never met. And they're like, how's that even possible?
Right.
You know, and I was like, it's music, baby. It's right. Like, it's 1 + 1, you know, it's we don't have to speak the same language, right? The music is the language, and it's tempo, it's feel. And,
yeah, we talked about that a little with Madison Bailey, how all the musicians all around some of them don't really know each other, and then they discover themselves at gigs, and they're like, you should meet this person, you should meet this person, you guys need to get on a bill together.
Yeah.
So much.
It's all organic growth. It's good.
It was crazy. And I was talking to Zorn again. Zorn comes into play. He had Luke sit in on like mandolin on a track in the studio, and I was like, "Man, that mandolin sounds great." And I didn't know he played anything other than mandolin. And I was like, "Can I get his number, maybe?" He's like, "Cool, man." And so I'm talking to him. I didn't know what he played really, and we were kind of. I was trying to expand and grow some, and I'd already met EJ. And he's like, man, you should talk to Luke, man. He's pretty cool. I was like, yeah, we'll talk to Luke. And I go, yeah, we got this guy coming to practice. And like, he's in a couple other bands or whatever. And he's in a band called Rusty Sal. And he's just like, I'm in Rusty Sal.
That's like,
and I'm like, he's like, Luke's the guy I'm talking about. And,
that's hilarious.
Great.
Yeah. And we showed up and we was all like, these are the guys, man.
Right. It has to be.
It has to be. And it's kind of been that way ever since. It's like a lot of just right serendipity.
For sure. That's my shit, baby. I love serendipity.
So what about you? Are you a Baltimore guy, John?
Through and through. I've been here about 20 years, more or less, with courting my wife, who went to Towson University. So
nice.
So
where from?
My wife's from.
You've been here 20
University.
Years. Where from?
Me and my wife were kind of where we were nomadic for a while. We lived in Portland, Oregon, for 2 years.
Ooh.
And then
Bigfoot country.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Don't get him started, please. Don't get him started.
No, we can talk about Squatch.
But then we lived in Charlottesville for 5 years. Charlottesville's an awesome music town for sure. And then in DC also, I played in up and down on 18th Street in DC in a band called Rattle Cam Moses 20 years ago.
Great name.
Oh, thank you. The factoid is that Rattle Cam Moses once opened for Chris Jacobs. So, for the Bridge at the time.
Right.
So that was like, you know, that was full circle. So, I've been lurking around Maryland since the turn of the century. And then I was at Big Cypress. I heard you at the LaPorte show.
Yeah, man.
And I heard about your Big Cypress.
Big Cypress was a time.
Yes, what indeed. An incredible, incredible time.
That was a
time.
Good show to be at. Yeah.
So I know Lepo, you had to ride on somebody's hood down Alligator Alley.
But, that's right, baby.
But I was in my Dodge Neon, my Plymouth Neon at the time, and we ran out of gas. I thought we were going to run out of gas in Alligator Alley like right after the check-in. So we had to have our chain tied up to our axle and got pulled by an RV.
Wow. Oh,
but then we finally did get gas at the end with it. But you're right. Once you get in that 6 mile lane.
For God's sakes, I thought we were right there. I figured we were right there.
And there's nowhere to run because you got live gators on both
sides. Right.
My favorite part of that story is just the cop being like, you know, it's 6 miles.
Well, listen.
And it's 4 o'clock. You better get walking.
Well, listen, Grabowski said that when you guys got there earlier in the day, you guys took off without him at one point because the line moved. He got out to like Hackensack or something. He said the line moved. Now, I think this is in the traffic still.
In the line. It only took us like 2 hours.
And he said that the cop said to him, you can't walk. And he's like, yeah, but my people are, my truck's right up there. And they're like, if you take one more step, we're going to arrest you. And so Grabowski had to get on the hood of somebody's car until he got caught back up to you guys, or else they were going to put him in jail for crashing. I thought, gosh,
I don't know, man.
It was a plight getting into that place.
Big time. It was, you really push yourself to the festy limits. Brittany and I were just sleeping in hammocks at Ramble Fest, pushing ourselves to the festy limits. You got to get your festy four in.
That's so fun.
The festy four is at least 4 hours of sleep.
So I got my full four.
That's awesome. Yeah, let's talk about the Ramble Fest a little bit.
Awesome.
So that you, tell me about that. We didn't get a chance to go to that.
We did the full experience. I got there Friday. We played Saturday. And
you guys played in a barn? Is that
we
right?
We played in the coolest
barn. I was going to say, it looks
fucking awesome.
Barn.
It was so cool. And
and
they
made a beer after the Red Barn, right?
It did,
the Red Barn beer. So it's
I mean, your vibe, like, it looks right. Like, I saw the videos this week. I was like, for fuck's sake, you guys should shoot a video in there or something. So, it feels like Whiskey Feathers.
So the music starts when?
Music starts at noon.
And then and you said goes till 3 a.m.
Goes to 3 a.m. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. Hell of a bill.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm like, I'll go check out a little bit of late night. The late night's in the barn, too. And they did it all right with there was like disco balls and like crushed red velvet tapestry kind of drapings and lights. And, you know, it was done amazing. And a really good vibe. But I'm like, I'll just go check it. Like, we're there Friday. Tro came out with me Friday. And I'm like, we got, you know, when we were noon, we started Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I got to get some sleep, you know. But we go to the show, and I'm like, I can't go to fucking bed. Like,
this is great. Right.
And so we're like, you know, we're walking back. It was like, I don't know, we went to bed at 3:30 or 4.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
And it was awesome. And then, you know, got up at 8 and you started to like shake the cobwebs and go get ready. But yeah, we were calling it getting your full 4.
Well, I always say it's much easier getting like minimal sleep when you're not liquored up, like when you're not hitting the ass. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 4 hours sleep sucks, but it doesn't suck like it used to suck.
No,
like,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the key. Where I was like, well, for me, it does.
Right? I have a weird. Right. Superpower.
Woe Davis can get 2 hours of sleep after a fifth of Jim Beam and wake up and lift weights. I'm not kidding. Yeah. Like, he's a lunatic. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So while we're on a different tip with the Ramble Fest, your influence musically? Are you a fish guy?
Yeah, I've seen Fish a bunch of times. And
how many times?
83. Which
I love this guy. Yeah, so,
But like, I know Laporte was in here the other day. He's like, yeah, so 70's nothing. So, right. So.
No. Yeah, we don't get into that.
I'll be brief on this because I've already told this story once. But my son's teacher, my son's 13, like it was last year when he was in seventh grade. His teacher is a Fish fan.
Right.
And he wore, I have a Fish O shirt. I think actually Tyler had it on one of the opening pictures. His house color was orange. So he wore it to school that day. Teacher's like, oh man, I love Fish. I'm a Fish fan. He's like, yeah, my dad's seen Fish like 3 times. And nice. Like, he came home and like just told me this random story. He's like, yeah, I told her you saw Fish. I'm like, what else did you say? He's like, I told her you saw him like 3 times. I was like, babe,
you gotta call
you have
teacher.
To email that teacher right now. I'm like, I'm not a Fish snob, but I've seen them more than 3 times. Right. And she emailed the teacher. She's like, my husband just wants to let you know that he's seen Fish a lot more than 3 times. And she's like, oh my God, that just made my whole night. Like,
yeah, the stats are actually impressive. Yeah.
That's so
I went
great.
Out. To, I go out to Dick's every year because we have buddies that live out there. And I brought her back a magnet that's on her fridge or on her cabinet in the class. But I was like, dude.
That's such a classic.
Son, you can't tell people I've only seen them 3 times. Right. Come on. Yeah.
It's just not good.
I've put
business.
In the work.
Right. Like, it makes you look like a nickel bagger. Like, you know. You
our first show
that.
Was 1994.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. At US Air Arena.
US Air Arena, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Brim, what's your musical flavor?
I guess, you know, early on I could think like Croce and
Jim Croce.
James Taylor. And,
yeah, let me
like,
tell
that
you.
That was on around the house. Kind of stuff.
I tend to do this, but while I'm stroking you, your songwriting ability. Do you write the lyrics? Or,
I do.
Yeah, I mean, dynamite songwriting.
You.
Like,
do you
I
write
mean,
the lyrics and the music, or does everybody contribute kind of with everything? Are you you're? It's all you.
It's all me. You know, the core of it, but
with
like,
input, everybody.
Yeah, Britton
puts
does all the
own.
Chord changes and all the lyrics.
Yeah, so I write the arrangements and everything, but then beyond that, it you know, everybody
brings their flavor,
their thing. Yeah, which is what I want. I want them to color it how they want to color it, and that's what makes it. You know, it's not. You know, we're very much a democracy, mm-hmm. And we serve the music, we serve the song. Case by case, it's not ego. It's not right. I want a solo or whatever. If it needs a solo, play a solo. If it doesn't,
right.
Like you know, we're serving the we're doing it justice, and you know we're serving the art and not the other way around. You know, I think we owe it everything. It doesn't really owe us much. So
yeah, well, you can feel it.
Yeah, you got a unique kind of wail to your vocals.
Thank you.
that reminds me of Mike Lubicki from Rusted Root.
Oh, right.
You kind of have the same, like, I don't even know what it's
vibrato.
What it's
vibrato.
Called.
Yeah. It's vibrato.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, and I love it. It's great.
And not everybody has vibrato.
No.
And so if you have it, you utilize it. You've got it in spades. You've got a unique vibrato vibe. It's great. And the Miss Jen,
she can lock in with the vibrato.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah.
I love how you call every woman that comes in here Miss.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm from a different.
It's his lingo.
Yeah, if people know me know that it's not as I'm trying to be, anyway, it works perfectly.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
With
it
your
really does.
Like no your doubt. Growl or your howl.
Yeah.
Something solely howl with her vocals making.
Yeah, and we've been doing it a long time, but that was there pretty early. Mm-hmm. We didn't, you know, we're not overthinking anything, which I think is important. I don't think about how it comes out, really. I just...
You're the vessel.
It happens. Right, exactly. You know, I get a lot of questions on, like, what are you doing here? What are you doing? I'm like, the more I think, the worse it is.
Right, I'm the same way.
And and Jenny, you know, there's this natural cohesion there. And Kendall, she wasn't with us tonight. She recently had a baby, but on all our studio stuff, there's three-part harmonies. And there's a natural... thing there as well where we all just it just works without
much
effort.
Oh wait,
she
has you have
the
another
fiddle.
Band?
She plays,
or you have another
she
member?
Plays the fiddle.
She, I'm another member. Yeah, she had a baby, so she's out. Yeah.
Oh, but right, the but, yeah. fiddle. I didn't even talk.
And sometimes, I mean, there's a harmonica. Sometimes
I play harmonica sometimes too. It's been a minute, but yes. So yeah, we've got another member, but the harmonies, the three part harmonies, just. Pretty natural. And
the three times I've seen you three times so far, and Kendall's been there each time.
Nice.
They've been cool. Like, we saw you, so I discovered you on WTMD with Enchanted, which is, like I told you,
that's your song.
It's not just one of my favorite songs by a local band, it's one of my favorite songs, period.
It's songwriting, yeah. I'm telling you, man. It's the songwriting, dude. It's good shit.
But then we saw you at the first Thursday, like 2 years ago in June or a year and a half ago. And then we saw you at Hun Fest.
Yeah, Hun was good.
And then we went to the B&O WTMD party because EJ had to like bust a move down to play with Letitia Van Zandt on the
right
train.
After
that's, when we saw Alcohol's on the Train.
Oh, yeah, right, with Justin.
And then we saw you at Manor Mill, which was a really cool. That was a cool, like, intimate, laid-back show that night.
Where's Manor Mill?
It's in Moncton.
Moncton, yeah.
That's like my neck of the woods. That's like, it's our home venue.
It's like a barn.
Yeah, I feel
it's like
a
house, I guess. But they played on the second floor, which is like a smaller little event. But now, is that where the new venue that you just played is?
So we just did a satellite venue. It's like 7 minutes from there. It's called Oldfield School.
It's bigger.
It's an old school. It's bigger. It's almost like 200 heads.
Right.
Seats. It's theater. It's an old theater.
Yeah.
In an old school. We opened for Pressing Strings.
Yeah.
It was like a beta test. Can this be done? How can we, you know? It was a proof of concept show.
How'd it go?
Sold it out. Packed it out. You know,
exactly.
I think we were don't tell no fire marshal, but we were like over for sure.
Right, you were over capacity.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it was great, and it couldn't have gone better. You know, there's little lessons learned for how to make it better and all, but. It couldn't have gone better for it. It was raining. It rained all of a sudden, which was like tough in the parking and for all the logistics and kind of headaches to get it off the ground. It was awesome.
Good. Yeah, that's nice. We've had JK in here with Alcohol's. We have Pressing Strings will be coming through. Jordan and Nick and those guys are great.
Now the cat that was on the Git Fiddle over here to the left. What was his name?
Lucas Chohani.
Now how did he get involved in the band? Was he there when you were with Miss Jen originally? You met this cat in the church.
It was Rusty.
They were talking about that.
Okay, that's the guy from. That's the guy from.
That's the guy.
Well, he just seems. Is he younger than you guys, or is he just?
He's a couple years younger than me.
Yeah, you look great, baby. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying. I thought he was younger.
John's aging well over here, but
I don't know. I don't know how much. I can't tell how old anybody is anymore.
Yeah, what do we?
It doesn't matter.
Well done, dude. I'm.
What'd you say?
I'm going to be 50 next year.
Oh, wow, dude. Yeah,
that's a big one.
Very impressive.
Now, is that a big
Looking
one?
Good, man.
Is that a big one, John? Or
I'm 5 years away from the big one.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'll give you a range.
You're in there.
Okay.
I'm 38.
Nice.
All right. Well, so I'm 48. Wheel, whose house this is, he's the oldest.
He's 54. He's 54. I don't know. Maybe 53.
Everybody's looking good.
Yeah, baby. He
looks
great.
We talked about that with Tyler. Like, I think everybody looks better the older they get these days, and I attribute it to hairstyles.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's probably evolution, too.
Evolution, too, which hopefully means we're probably going to just average into our 90s.
It's possible, baby. We might lead that charge.
We don't know yet, though. We don't know.
Sure. Now, you guys got music on Spotify.
Yeah, we just released
a
new
single. And did I hear you say that you're going into the studio soon?
Yeah, we're going in the studio in the middle of November. We're going to cut three more. We got two more in the can right now. Just got a mix yesterday for Learning to Crawl.
Nice.
We're going to be dropping. We didn't really promo or do anything for this latest drop for Sold Separately. And that's been out a little over a week now.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I just saw that yesterday actually when I was.
But we're going to be trying to get them out there pretty aggressively, and just dropping them. Like there's no benefit to holding on to them, you know.
It seems like the market nowadays wants good songs, not necessarily good albums. I mean, I think there's a market for albums. Mm-hmm. People who love albums love albums, but.
Yeah.
In order to get going.
Well, that's the model, right? It's like the current model is it used to be an album a year.
Right.
And now it's a single a month. You know, it's every 4 weeks. And which sounds crazy. It is crazy. But, you know, our first album we released a couple years ago, it was 12 songs. So you divide that by
a song a month.
So it kind of equates, but it's a hearty pace. The good thing on our side is like we have songs, we have material. It's a time and a budget thing. Like we're all self-funded. And so it's just earning the money to get into the studio to cut them and release them. So we're not struggling with material. You know, the Beatles had three albums in the can before they released one. I'm always writing. I got a new song I'm excited about that I wrote the other night. But it's good. Like the flow's good. I think the sobriety's really helped, and you know, I just feel like my muscles are working well, and we've got a process, and I got a method for how things come and get documented. But back in the studio and trying to fit that model of you know, a single here every 4 to 8 weeks if possible.
I mean, it's good stuff though. Like you know, if you struggle with writer's block like a lot of people do, that's a serious problem, especially if you need material. But if you already have a nice plethora that you can
it's a stock. It's nice. And we're never, you know, it's also very nice to build a set list and not be just stuck to, you know, however many songs. Like we can take things out and add things in. It's a matter of being comfortable and kind of you know, loose on those songs, and not loose but tight, I guess. But it's a matter of knowing the material, but it's there, and we can feather things in and feather things out. The content is there, which is very nice. It's a good thing.
I love it, man.
So how long have you been playing? How long have you been playing the guitar and the bass?
Middle school.
Yeah. So with that being said, like what were some of your, who were some of your influences that made you really get into music, bass in particular? Right. Did you start with the bass?
I started upright in fifth grade, actually with cello, and then they moved me to the upright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get emotional when you came in here and saw the upright bass in the corner?
That is nice. Yeah.
They probably shuttered.
Nice carved one.
Oh, yeah. Carried around.
Carved German up there. I saw indeed.
Nice.
But then I also had the chance to play with the Baltimore Mandolin Orchestra for 2 years, where I played the mandocello, which is an instrument that's strung like the same strings as a cello, but obviously doubles like a giant mando.
Nice.
And so that was cool to have to play with them for 2 years. And I kind of came out of a corporate cocoon and didn't play music for a while, then got into the mandolin orchestra, kind of built up my chops, and then started playing out again.
Mm-hmm. We had a small Timor connection through the mandolin orchestra too. Jenny, that's right. Jenny's like childhood friend Susie and her husband Dan played in the mandolin orchestra like years and years before I'd ever met John. But
yeah, they're always rolling like 30 mandos, mandolas, and mandocellos, and they even have mando basses too. So
that's wild.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. I bet you your chops get built up in a situation like that.
Probably. Yeah, well, it's kind of a different beast because you're reading music, and so it's kind of like I kind of think it's like a Sudoku where you're just kind of doing like a mental thing. But then when I play with these guys, you know, it's you know the chords, and it's more of a jazz thing where you outline the chords with the bass line, you know. Because I was also in jazz band all throughout high school and everything. Nice. So big Jaco fan and you know, all those fusion jazz bass players.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why you love Mike.
No doubt. Yeah. Gordon's the man. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love his new tone with the new Sarek basses.
Right.
And respect to Sarek. I know that they got some damage from Hurricane Helene. So we're thinking about the Sarek bass maker down there. But yeah, Mike sounds so good on that cool new Sarek he has with those extra frets at the bottom that he can put in with a magnet so he can go super high on foam.
I know this guy. he's so sick. So weird. Wow. Yeah. So, Britton, as you were a youth, what like did songwriting come first or did the instrument come first?
I think it was just interest in guitar. Excuse me. In middle school, I went to an art school in middle school, which I was very lucky to do. It was middle school of the arts, and it changed my life. I think very put me on this path of like what's possible. And you had to audition to get into the school.
Nice.
And you know, there were different majors. There was you know, vocals or band or communications or dance or theater, and I got in for vocals and communications, and but everybody had to do everything else, right? Like I had to take dance classes, and I had to take theater, and I had to take we all did everything.
But so are you a dancer?
Oh yeah, buddy.
Oh shit! Dance.
not that you know,
breakdown.
Not that plié kind of stuff. But you know, we did, you know, we did ballet and we did arrhythmic and you know, just different types of things. But it exposed me to creativity and what's possible, and you know, opened my mind at a pretty early age. But there was an elective class, and it was like classical guitar, and so my first guitar was like this nylon string guitar, and it was all finger picking and flamenco stuff, and like nothing I was particularly great at. And I don't read music. I'm just not there on that. Like I use chords and scales and everything, and I know you know, shapes and I can play you know, I get by. And then, you know, my gift really is the vocals. I'd set that kind of base of the rhythm, and you know, I'm not fooling anybody with my guitar playing, but I think it's more the emotion, the feel, and that's you know, I believe in what I do, and that's there's a confidence in that that I think stands on its own versus the maybe the technical ability. I'm not really thinking too hard about it, but yeah, it was an island guitar, but that didn't really jive with what I was hearing. You know, it was early 2000s, and I'm, you know, or no, was it early 2000s? It was 90s. It was in the 1900s.
Well, I remember.
yeah, it was in the back in the 1900s. Yeah. And but yeah, you know, I'm listening to like steel string, you know, alternative radio, I was like, well, I'm not good, you know, I can't, but it was this nylon thing, and it didn't equate. And I couldn't play, you know, I was like just a middle school kid trying to figure it out. But I liked it. I knew girls liked it. And I liked music. You know, I just had that natural thing, and I had rhythm, and I, you know, I could move and dance. And then I got an acoustic guitar in like my freshman year of high school, and that kind of started it. And
with acoustic guitar goes songwriting sometimes, maybe.
Yeah, and yeah, after that I kind of got into writing. In college it started more and more. I got a gigged all through college, I was going to open mics, because I was like, you know, I knew I had something, something I wanted to share, but I had like terrible stage fright. It was terrible.
Huh.
And it was like an angel and a devil on my shoulder. It was like, you're going to this open mic. And I'm like, I don't want to go. And it's like, you're going. And, you know, because I knew I sounded decent in the living room or whatever when I was by myself. So I like started going to this open mic. And then I was at a place that I played like all through college, and some friends were playing. It was like 2 a.m. and I'm like strumming their guitar and singing a little bit. And the owner's like, I didn't know you could play. And I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, I'd never played a gig. And and he's like, you want to play Thursday? And I'm like, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's like, you can play, you know, like, you know, whatever it was, like 9 to, you know, midnight or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yeah, for sure.
You just right? kept saying, oh yeah. Yeah.
And I went, I was like, oh God, what did I do? And I went, and I had like a week to basically learn enough. And I had enough for, I played it twice, basically. I did like an hour and change. And then I came and just did it again. Cause I'm like, I don't know, that's all I got.
Right.
Trial by fire,
but that started it. Yeah, and then I was just like, after that, I started booking and playing more gigs, and you know, the playing's it's always evolved, which is good. It's never, you know, I don't feel like I've stagnated, and we're still on that trajectory. I think if it ever feels like it's not progressing, there's a problem. But it's always evolved, whether it's the playing or the singing or the writing or whatever it is. But yeah, I started writing in college. And it's just gotten better and better. It really has. After, you know, sobriety, it's gotten better and better. And
yeah, always keep that. Always mm-hmm. keep that in your purview. You know, the things yeah. got better after sobriety.
It's
because it's
better.
Easy to forget. I always say to myself, don't forget. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you bring it up.
It's always getting better, which is yeah. awesome. Yeah, it's
important.
John Hartford song. The what is it? Just when you think it can't get no better than it does, it does. It has. So yeah. It's
just, yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. It's positive stuff. Yeah,
so I wanted to circle back to Enchanted again, because yeah. So my 10, he was 10 at the time.
Lincoln, Enchanted, the song
Enchanted. Yeah, right. Yeah, Lincoln at the time was 10 when we first heard it, and he really liked it, but he had a great question. So we can kind of go around and answer this question yeah. and see your thoughts on when you wrote it. What is considered a romantic food?
Mm. I don't know, like pasta, sexy. You know?
Right. He asked us that. He's like, so what? He's like, what are romantic foods?
And you I'm said
like,
oysters.
No, I said I think I said steak and lobster.
There you go.
Seafood, pasta,
chocolate covered strawberries,
or mango, yeah, or something.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, anything fruit, I feel
peaches,
fruit with whipped cream,
peaches and cream.
Yeah, right.
There's all sorts
now
of...
that Lincoln, I mean, it depends that answers on... his question.
Yeah, that's
it's cool. A great lyric.
I think, like, Indian food can be sexy, like yeah. Italian food.
I guess if you're guess, with the right
it's,
company...
I guess it's easier to come up with what isn't a sexy food.
That's
like,
true.
I'd say, like, chili.
Yeah.
Manwich.
Well, like a
sloppy joe. Sloppy joe.
Liverwurst.
Sloppy joe.
Bratwurst.
Lunch lady food.
Lunch right. lady food. Fiestada is definitely a sexy food.
Dude.
What is it? Fiestada.
From the school lunch.
From our high school cafeteria.
I made one last night. It was almost...
Almost.
It was almost legit. Really? Fiestada.
You guys go yeah, back yeah. to high school?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We've been friends since 92.
We've, been,
we've been through a lot together.
Yeah, nice. We've been through a lot together.
Beautiful. There's a lot of us.
Yeah. And there's a whole crew. Yeah, there's one of us
it takes
up
a village,
there on the
man.
Stick.
That's Kenny up
Kenny,
there.
Right, yes. Grabowski I mentioned. But we yeah. have a tight-knit group of friends that have stayed friends for 30-some
yeah.
years.
Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, it takes a village, and you got to find your people, and that's
And even well. Like with you, I mean, God, sir, I mean, a support system's important, and we've only had that. Yeah. I mean, right. we've had several friends that have made that change in their lives,
yep.
and we all support it easily.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do it whatever you need.
You know, it's
you
a
need.
True friend, right? Yeah. Like, there's some people that change, and other people don't want you know, they want they want to keep that version of that person alive.
100%
They can't accept it. So yeah.
Right. And then you have to start asking yourself hard questions like, are they real friends?
If that's what are they a real friend or are they a drinking buddy?
Well, and I mean, were the epitome of it. I mean, how many years has it been for you?
98 So whatever that is.
Right on,
I haven't had a drink since 98
Yeah.
And every one of my friends were liquored up lunatics, and every one of them had my back because they all knew, and they were like, you know, like we gotta help, you know. So, but it's been great shit. So, well, no, go ahead.
Your whole crew moved to Florida too, right?
Isn't that me and Brian moved to Florida together?
But
we went to Full Sail in Orlando.
We were part of production
98
school.
To
cool.
I went for animation. He went for film production.
Nice. Now, to be clear, the Cypress crew, of our boys came down to like, see Cypress.
Kenny, the guy behind me right here, he went to Full Sail, but after I moved back to Maryland, Brian, you were still there.
Still there in a Grateful Dead cover band.
Yeah.
You know who's a Full Sail graduate is Billy String's sound guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that's it. I know he always gets shout outs.
And we made a lot of friends that we kind of stay in contact with in Florida. Nice. We had a good time in Florida. I did a lot of acid.
Yeah.
In Florida.
Wait a second. You did a lot of acid in Baltimore before we went to Florida.
We had Florida was fun. It was Florida, it was a cool school, but the school when we went was kind of new and weird. I mean, the iPhones didn't even exist, and I was learning computer animation.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Literally, the last class, we were like the last to learn film.
Yeah.
Like, they were all like, next year. Yeah, they were like, we were literally cutting films and exposing film and
it was
stuff.
Cool. It was cool.
And the very next year, they were going to start incorporating digital
like
film.
Digital, you're like, what?
Well, we had Avid.
It was,
Avid.
Was in Winter Park, Florida. But the school's like taking over the town of Winter Park now. Yeah, I mean, they have a whole concert venue now. Where they that's where the students can do live, full live production.
And I want to say WWE films there.
They have a lot of cool stuff
or something, and it's like the students help do it. Or
but technically, we could go back there. I mean, they said you could go back and take classes for life, unless they change the name of the program,
which they will because they're corporate pigs.
No, it was a great experience.
I thought you were just going to land a sponsorship.
Well, hey, we love them. Actually, we do love them.
Full Sail's great.
You know, these corporations. Just kidding. So while we're on the film subject, unless do you have any other music?
No. That was good.
So
good segue.
What I insist on doing is film talk with most of our guests. So I'm going to put it to you, John, first. If you can, give me the top three films.
Well, first, are you film fans?
Are you film guys?
Of course. Well, I'm a big documentary guy.
Anything.
Like, I don't know if you guys know
documentaries.
Errol Morris,
one of the most famous documentarians of all time.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. So I went to school at Ithaca College and majored in documentary production.
Good for you.
And then I got a job right out of school at the Discovery Channel at the corporate headquarters down in Bethesda before they moved to Silver Spring.
Right.
And I was there for a few years living the DC life and working at Discovery Channel. But what a lot of people don't know about Discovery Channel, at least back then, is like it was just they just have contracts with all these different production companies that are actually, you know, out in the field with the lemurs and whatnot, you know. Mm. And Discovery Channel's just kind of doing the deals, you know. So I didn't get to do anything really cool or anything like that. And then I kind of get out of that world. But always big Errol Morris fan though, for sure. Like Thin Blue Line. You know, I actually like acquitted somebody who was like on death row. So it's a serious documentary.
Incredible, incredible historical documentary, Thin Blue Line, Errol Morris. And actually, his son is Hamilton Morris. Do you know that?
Oh, no.
Do you know who Hamilton Morris is?
The psychedelic guy?
Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's, the guy, he's a serious chemist. He's a serious, you know, advocate for good, you know, clean drug regulation, looking into it and stuff like that. But that's Hamilton, Errol Morris's son is Hamilton Morris. Yeah.
Actoid.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a bad trip.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Productive. So give me something else.
Oh, then I guess Empire Strikes Back is probably my favorite.
You.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
The style is all the style in that like this kind of set a tone for sure.
Empire was always my favorite until Rogue One came out, and then it just fucked up my whole brain. Those two are my top.
I love Empire, man.
Yeah.
But Empire's still the best.
I mean, for a part two of a series, like that and Godfather 2, right. You know, come out swinging big.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
And you then got another one? Then I guess... Yeah, Lebowski was probably number three.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a classic.
That was my one.
Proud to see that in the theater. Yeah, for sure.
We're gonna have to have a sheet of like the heavy hitters or the because Lebowski seems to be
that was gonna be my
that
first.
And Godfather.
That's one of my top. Yeah, it is. It was Tyler's number.
Oh,
one.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's my one.
Yeah. All right. So that's
what
good,
was
man.
The first
good
movie
stuff.
You saw in the theaters? Do y'all remember that? Like as a kid?
Yes, the first movie I saw in the theater. Was Jaws 3 in 3D.
Oh,
but
Jesus.
I don't really remember 3D, it, but yeah. The first movie I really remember seeing in the theater was Predator, coincidentally.
Which is hilarious, because you saw a shitload of movies before Predator. Right. You're just brain dead or whatever in those years.
Maybe.
Because Predator was 87.
I know.
I mean,
and
you
Jaws
saw
3 was 85 or 83.
83, yeah. Right. The first movie I remember seeing was Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it blew my face off. I was like, "Holy shit!" What, you know?
Do you remember the first movie?
E.T.
E.T.
Yeah,
I saw E.T. that year, same year as Raiders. Yeah. I saw E.T. right after Raiders or right around Raiders.
Damn, you know what? That could very well be my first.
This
theater
is what
experience.
I'm saying. You're just not thinking.
I might have to ask my mother about that. I might be making stuff up.
Yeah, I was setting records back then.
Yeah, you just aren't thinking, baby. Right. You saw a shitload of movies.
I do remember
Predator.
What was your
Mine
first?
Mine was Land Before Time.
Oh, nice.
And I cried when the lights went off.
That's a tragic, of the dinosaur, Land Before Time. That's
wow, one of the that devastated me. Yeah, I only saw that once.
Land Before Time, that was. You know,
that was 88
foundational.
Yeah. I mean, it's a children's movie. You see it as a child and you're traumatized.
Right.
I mean, and it was like, I love dinosaurs. Yeah. And it was like, wait, what?
Wait.
The acting was incredible. I mean, that shit was heavy. I remember.
Asteroid good. Hits.
The like falling leaf scene with the water and the drought.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's in there.
Yeah. Well, that's a heavy pull. All right. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Lebowski's like
that's
up
your
there.
Top.
So I thought about I was thinking about what we grab when the power goes out, like and to like I call it gas powered TV because we'll whip out the generator and fire it up and then run an extension cord and we got an old DVD player and then we grab DVDs and like what's the kind of go to? But it's like it's usually Lebowski. The Oceans movies.
Mm-hmm. Any one of them.
Any
right?
one of them's
They're
fine.
They're just fun. Yeah.
Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. And Wayne's World.
Oh, nice. Good That's for you. Good I just watched Wayne's World for the first time in a long time. A while ago. Unbelievable.
Excellent party time.
That's another good sequel.
Yeah. It is. Wayne's World 1, mm-hmm. Wayne's World 2. Yeah.
With
Sleeper.
Wayne Stock for Wayne's World 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think I might great. Like 2
Dude,
yeah. better. I don't
2
know.
Was
possible.
Funnier. We saw that with Ryan Grabowski. Yeah. And Paul.
It was funnier.
And it was funnier. Yeah,
when Farley's running across the stage.
Right. And they're throwing stuff at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, you know, those movies, that's one of those ones that, like, I just watched Wayne's World 1 again for the first time a little bit ago, and that baby is dated. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it, and it doesn't bother me, but, like, you can see it is 1990. Oh, like,
right.
There's no mistaking the era.
Right.
Yeah.
You
is know that, what I mean?
Wayne's World 1 is with 90?
Yeah, 1990.
So,
I was right in high
school. Little fun fact, Brian reached out to James Hong.
Oh, shit.
About coming on this show.
Wow.
Do you know who we're talking about? This is Chinese actor. Maybe
he's in
Korean.
Wayne's World. He
I
was Tia Carrera. He was Tia Carrera's father
right.
in Wayne's World.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And he's in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah,
he's in Seinfeld.
He was in Blade Runner.
He was in Blade Runner.
Yeah. Like, I know you're talking about.
Yeah. He responded. I mean, he's 95 years old now,
he's
I think.
Very
he,
old.
He responded.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was awesome. I was like, Mr. I don't even know. Why did I reach out to him?
I do not
I
know.
Get these impulses. Listen, I get these impulses and I go with them and they pay off.
Yeah, right.
So that was Cassandra's dad, right?
Yes. Yes. Cassandra.
Yes.
And he was like, I would love to come on, but I'm
busy.
I'm still
doing movies.
You're
right
not
yeah.
busy.
I'm
no, too
he
busy.
Was just in that movie with
really?
the
when he
Ming,
answered
Ming Na Wen. He was just in a movie with her.
Oh, the Everything All at
yes,
Once.
Yes, yes. He's in that movie.
Yeah,
he's
in
he still looks does some for yes. He's 95? Like 95 years old.
But he was like, have fun in the Sanity Lounge. He's like, have fun.
Good luck with the Sanity Lounge.
Yeah, yeah.
we're using that as like a review.
We'll put it up as a blurb, James Wan. Like,
how'd you get his
I messaged him on, no, this is what I do. This has worked for me a few times here. On Instagram or Facebook, I will just hit up somebody with a well-versed paragraph.
Yeah.
Example, a guy wrote a book in 2018 called The Immortality Key, mm-hmm. and it's about the history of ancient Greece and Ulysses and all these rituals and stuff like that. Anyway, very big book. He was on Joe Rogan. He was on all these other shows. Huge. I'm like on Instagram, and I'm looking into the history of ancient drumming, and I know it's going to line up with some of the stuff that this cat was talking about. So I make this paragraph very, you know, Lep style, whatever. And I'm like, look, I'm in Baltimore. I know this guy lives in Pittsburgh, which isn't that far. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, this is what I'm looking into. Does this sound interesting to you? And he was like, it sounds like a most worthy endeavor. Nice. Any way I can help, let me know. He sent me PDFs of ancient shamans from the research he did at the Vatican.
Nice dude.
For his book.
So it's a lot of research about like ancient use of psychedelics and stuff. Oh, yeah. But
right.
He's completely like unbiased because he's never taken a psychedelic. So
he was a man of the cloth.
He just did all this research.
Oh, yeah, he's a man of the cloth that just is looking into spirituality in general. And he knows the history of the Christian church, and he knows when it got organized, and he knows that there was a 300-year span where it was disorganized. And in that time, he posits that people that were worshiping Christian rituals illegally at the time were probably being led by Maenad women of Ulysses from ancient Greece because they did similar rituals. The body and blood of Dionysus. The body and blood of Christ. You know, we don't want to get into too much heaviness because, but it's interesting stuff.
It's a good book. Yeah. It's called The Immortality Key. It's an interesting book.
And my whole point is drums have been there since the beginning. Drums are the oldest instrument, and they've been there since the beginning. And drums have watched all this history play out. And I love that. Go ahead.
The oldest instrument's the voice.
Actually, you're right. Absolutely.
It was the first.
I think the oldest company is Zildjian, right?
Now, I will tell you this, though, Britton. That's the oldest cymbal company. I believe you're right. I will tell you this, though. I've had this argument before about the oldest voice being the voice because your heart has to beat.
It's true.
And so the beat of
the
your
rhythm,
heart
tempo.
Is...
Well, like beats per minute, right? Like the reason we all respond to this music and feel it a certain way is it's sometimes you're just like, I can't help but move.
Yes.
Right. It's the gait, right? It's like, it's the tempo in which you used to walk and we still walk, but, you know, it was pivotal more for like, all right, this is a beat. This is, you know, I'm on a hunt or I'm running after prey or whatever.
Right.
But that's, you know, some of why it resonates, but it also, you know, the frequencies are pivotal as well.
Definitely.
And people's DNA responds differently to frequencies and people's, I feel this one a certain way or whatever. You're literally being, your molecules, your DNA is vibrating and responding to certain frequencies and keys, that might not resonate with others, but, that's the magic, I think.
Oh, man, it's unbelievable.
And how those tempos kind of cook into your,
DNA.
Your DNA.
Yeah. I love it, dude. That's such good shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Whiskey Feathers, this was fucking incredible.
Yeah, you guys are.
And, I mean, I love you guys. We're going to promote the hell out of you. Tell people about the show.
Of course.
Absolutely. And right now, tell people where the best places are to find you, find your schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're at whiskeyfeathers.com. We're on, you know, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok,
Spotify,
Threads, Spotify, Apple, you know, iTunes, anywhere you listen to music. We're on, you know, 60 some platforms around the world.
Yep.
What else? Check us out.
You're on whatshappeningbaltimore.com.
We're on whatshappeningbaltimore.com.
We got a show coming up on December 5th.
Yeah,
because this episode 5th. Will be out before that, November 30th.
We're going to be at Elkton Music Hall. We're opening for Sam Morrow, who's we're really excited to play with him. He's got like some It sounds vintage, but it's new. You know, it's kind of an almond-y, Almond Brothers kind of roots rock, southern rock. Yeah, not roots rock, southern rock kind of thing, maybe, but in his own way.
Vintage, I like that.
Vintage, yeah.
I live over in Middle River. I might have to try.
Yeah, come on out. It's a Thursday.
I don't know what we're doing on December 5th.
December 5th. We got a couple shows we're working on, and we'll be dropping those soon. But, yeah, back in the studio, we got that show coming up December 5th, and... yeah, check us out. We're trying to be a little bit everywhere all at once.
Nice. Awesome. Callback to the James Wan, baby. Yeah, like it's in.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, well, look, this was a lot of fun, man. And wait till you guys see it. You're going
to
be happy.
Yeah, thanks for the chance to play out there, man. Yeah, that was so much fun. It sounded great. And I'm sure it's going to turn out great. So
beautiful.
Appreciate the chance.
All right. Stay sane, Baltimore.
Thank you.
We're the Whiskey Feathers from Baltimore, Maryland. This one's called Learning to Crawl. No longer a drinker, I surrendered it all. This one is called So Sue Me, and we think you can relate. Well, so sue me, I'm a human, and I always want more. You name it, I want it, until I'm lying on the floor. Well, so sue me, I'm a human, and I'm addicted to more. And for your love, I'm jonesing. I'm stuck in my ways now, and I like things the same. Yes, I love my illusions, but they all bring me pain. So sue me, I'm a human. This is called Sold Separately, this next song here. If you haven't heard it, it's our latest and newest single. And we hope you check that out wherever you listen to music. It goes like this. Well, it's the trends that bend, and the sheep will always go. No, they will never know what it's like for them to think on their own. They weren't ever shown. It's a fight uphill and it will always be. The dreams for him, but the hustle sold separately. It's a fight uphill and it will always be. The dreams for him, but the hustle sold separately. The ties and vines that bend them to their roots. The status quo that never sets them loose. And you miss the chances that you never take. This one is it's called Enchanted. It's our first single. It started everything for us. And this place is pretty magical, I must say. It's got an enchanted vibe. Solve the riddle. Solve the riddle. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Dream a little, dream a little. Wish on the big bright ones in the sky. So watch me run until I fall. Watch me crawl until I'm down in my bones. This is called The Awakening. It's very new. And I think we produce this music, to awaken something in myself and in the hopes of doing that. And in my awakening, awaken you as well and the listener. So I named this before I thought all of that up, but this is called The Awakening.
Show.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.